What do you do when you're living on the edge and you feel like your life is completely out of control? The worried cow would have lived till now if she had saved her breath, but she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death. A lot of us are like that cow. We get upset, we get anxious, we worry about things we can't control. Someone said worry is a lot like rocking in a chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Psychologists today are telling us the following things about worry. They say that 40% of what we worry about will never happen. 30% of what we worry about has already happened. 12% of the things we worry about are unfounded health concerns, which simply means we're saying, I wonder if I'm going to have this or if I'm going to get this. 10% are the daily things that we do that are totally out of our control. You add those all up, and it means 92% of our worry is for no good reason. We're worrying about things that we can't control, that worrying about all these things is not necessary. That only leaves 8%. Of the things that you and I think about that we can control. What does the Bible have to say about worry anyway? We're going to look today at two powerful passages, that deal with worry. The first is found in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles or your iPhones, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at the context of what Jesus said about worry. Matthew 6, verse 25, he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even King Solomon in all his splendor, richest man in the world, had everything, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's look at some things right out of this passage that I believe Jesus tells us about worry. First of all, worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. Look again at verse 25. He says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or your body, what you're going to wear. Now, stop and think about that. That's what we worry about all the time, isn't it? Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? You see, Jesus is saying worrying about these things doesn't make any sense. Why? Because there are more important things in life than what you eat or what you drink or what you wear. Why is worry so unreasonable? Because we end up worrying about the wrong things. We worry about our possessions instead of our priorities. We worry about our valuables instead of our values. Worry also is unreasonable because it exaggerates the problem. You see, each and every time you worry about something, you go over it again and again in your mind. If you're not careful, it will keep becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. If you're not careful, you'll think the whole world is against you. R.C. Trench was an Archbishop of Dublin who had the fear of being paralyzed. One time he was at a party, and a lady seated next to him heard him say these words. He said, oh my gosh, it happened at last. My right leg has lost all of its feeling. I'm going to be having a stroke. Sir, she said, it may comfort you to know that it's my leg that you're pinching. Worried himself to death. Worry is unreasonable because, you see, we exaggerate the problem. Secondly, worry is unnatural. Worry is not natural. Look at what verse 26 says again. It says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet God takes care of them. Are you more important? Are you not more important than birds? He goes on to say, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet Solomon, richest man in the world, no doubt he had the great wardrobe, in all his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of the flowers. You see, Jesus gives us a little lesson from nature to show us that worrying is unnatural. He said, first of all, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store. He says birds live from day to day. Birds don't get up on Monday and say, I wonder what we're going to have for lunch on Tuesday. They simply live one day at a time, trusting God. He talks about the flowers. Have you ever looked at a flower up close? The intricacies are incredible. Their details, unbelievable. A flower doesn't bloom and say, I wonder if I'm going to look good today. I wonder if somebody takes a picture of me if I'll have the right color on. No, because their beauty is all up to God. Now hang with me. Here's the point of what he's saying here. God is saying, I've created everything on planet Earth. And you know what's interesting? The only part of what I've created that worries is human beings. Human beings are the only ones that don't know how to trust God. Worry's unnatural. You weren't born to worry. I know what some of you are thinking on all of our campuses. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor Don, I'm sorry. I'm a born worrier. That's not true. Worry is a learned response. You learned how to worry from watching your parents or the people around you. But the good news is, since worry is a learned response, it can be unlearned. Because you see, our bodies weren't made to worry. In fact, there are many medical problems associated with worry. Do you realize today that worry and anxiety disorders affect 40 million adults in the United States? The cost of treating anxiety disorders is more than $42 billion a year. Dr. Charles Mayo said, worry affects the circulatory system and the nervous system. I've never known a man who died from overwork, but I've known many who've died from doubt, end of quote. In fact, Mayo Clinic claims that 80 to 85% of their caseload is due to worry and anxiety. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. What does that mean? It means it's going to kill you. You see, 25 million people have high blood pressure today attributed to stress and anxiety. 8 million people have stomach ulcers that you can attribute almost directly to worry and stress. An anxious heart will weigh you down. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Notice the flip side. A heart of peace will literally make you live longer. Listen, if God can take care of all of his creation, takes care of the birds and the flowers, don't you think that God can take care of us? Worry is unnatural. Thirdly, worry is unhelpful. In fact, Jesus said it doesn't even work. It's of no value. It won't make you live longer. Verse 27 of Matthew 6 says, who of you by worrying, there it is, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus is saying worry won't make you taller, won't make you shorter, won't make you younger, it won't make you older. You see, worry cannot change the past. Worry cannot control the future. Worry only messes up the present. Someone said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. I'll repeat that. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. In other words, worry literally sucks the life and energy right out of us. Number four, worry is unnecessary. It's not even necessary. Verse 30. If God closed the grass of the field, it's here today, tomorrow it's on the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? All of you in your outline, underline, O you of little faith. You see, worry indicates that we have a misunderstanding of what God is like, that we're unwilling to trust our Heavenly Father, because worry is the opposite of faith. And if you say, I'm a Christian, but I still worry all the time, then I'm going to say to you, you have little faith. Because when you worry, you're saying, God, I don't believe you can take care of me. Think of the different areas of our life as Christ followers that our faith is put to the test. Probably one of the greatest tests, believe it or not, not just when we're going through suffering, that's always a great one, but another one would be when it comes to generosity and trusting God with our finances. Why is that a true test of our faith? Because it involves trust. You are putting your faith in God to provide for you and take care of your needs. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of your needs. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, does that include my car payment, my doctor bills, my mortgage payment, new clothes, health club membership, and Cardinals football tickets? That doesn't say that God will take care of all your greeds. It says God will take care of all your needs. You see, if God can forgive our sins, if he can give us eternity in heaven and take care of our deepest needs, and I want to say as Christ followers, why can't we trust God to take care of our finances? A man was worrying because he had an appointment downtown. He couldn't find a parking place, and he knew he was going to be late for an appointment, so he finally stopped and parked in a no parking zone. He attached the following note to the windshield. I've circled this block 10 times. I have an important commitment and meeting to keep. Forgive us our trespasses. When he returned from his appointment, he found this reply along with a ticket. I've circled this block for years. If I don't give you a ticket, I lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. You see, God's promised to take care of us, but that doesn't mean that God can get us out of our parking tickets. Next worry is unchristian. It's unchristian. Verse 31 says, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans, the word pagan there means a person that doesn't know God. For pagans run after these things. In other words, our unchurched friends, they worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink and what they're going to wear. And if we worry about all the same things, we are no different from those that don't know Christ. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need him. God knows what we need. You see, when you worry, hang on. We're acting like an atheist. We're acting as if God doesn't exist. Now, on our campuses today, if you're visiting and you're an unbeliever, I want to say to you in love, we're honored you're here. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you have a reason to worry. Because if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ by faith, you have no promise of eternal life in heaven. But those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, we've accepted Jesus by faith, we don't have to worry. Why? We have a God in heaven, a heavenly Father, who promises that he will forgive our sins, make everything new, and take care of all of our needs. You see, God's our Father. We're his children. But when we worry, we're not acting like his children. We're acting like orphans who have no father to take care of them. Worrying is unchristian because we're playing God. Worry means we assume responsibility for things that are out of our control. Stop and think about it. Most of the things in my life and yours are out of our control. In fact, somebody said to me, really there's only two things that we can control, our attitude and our effort. And if you want to raise your kids and say, kids, here's something you can control. I can't control your grade point average, your friends, all this, but you can control your attitude and you can control your effort. You see, you can read many self-help books, and I read those. And they may tell you, if you do this, you can be anything that you want to be. And I'm going to tell you that's not true, because I can never dunk a basketball like LeBron James. I can never swim as fast as Michael Phelps. I can never have as much money as Warren Buffett. We can never be everything that we want to be. But we can be everything that God wants us to be. So stop worrying. If you've been around very much, you know that one of my favorite sayings, here it comes, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks ahead. Everybody on all of our campuses, repeat this out loud. Let's hear you. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks ahead. Sorrow looks back. Why? You can't change the past. We've all made mistakes in our life, and you will worry yourself to death if you think about all the things you've done wrong. Worry looks ahead, and you can't control what's going to happen in the future either, and so you'll worry yourself to death worrying about all the things you can't control. But faith looks ahead, because faith says, I don't know about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, and I'm going to put my complete trust and faith in God. Here's what I want you to do right now on every campus. Look in your outline, and I want you to write down your greatest worry. Right now, just write down your greatest worry. Now, there's a good possibility on all of our campuses that your greatest worry could be immediately to the left or right of you. If that's the case, just draw an arrow real quickly, and God will know what you're thinking about. Now you better erase it very quickly. Worry is unreasonable. Worry is unnatural. It's unhelpful. It's unnecessary. And worry is unchristian. But the good news is the Bible doesn't stop there. Jesus also gives us the key and antidote to overcoming worry. Here it is. Number one, put God first in every area of your life. Put God first in every area of your life. Look at what it says in verse 33. Seek first His kingdom, circle the word kingdom, and His righteousness, circle righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to seek first His kingdom? It means seek first the desire to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, His mission of reaching everybody they might go to heaven. His righteousness means His holiness. Desire every day to not be like everybody else around you, but desire to be like Jesus Christ. You see, worry is always a warning light. Worry is an indication of mixed up values. When I worry, it means I've not allowed God to lead in one area of my life. And if you're trying to put other things before God, listen carefully, you're going to worry. If you try to put other things before God, you will worry. Statistics say that for Christian families, the number one value for them is not loving and serving Jesus. The number one value for them is their children. And hear me out, moms and dads, Christian parents. If you're putting God, your children before God, you're going to worry. You'll worry yourself sick. You know why? You can't control who your kids are going to marry. You can't control the grades they're going to get. You can't control whether they're going to make the varsity team or get a scholarship. You can't control so many things. You can't always keep them safe. And if you try to control everything and put them before God, you're going to worry. Or maybe you put your appearance before God. You work out, you spend money, you have surgery, you do whatever it takes so you look awesome. I got news for you. The older you get, you're going to sag and get shorter. I used to be 6'6". Or maybe it's your marriage. You say, you know what? The most important thing to me is my spouse. Really? What happens if your spouse leaves or dies? Then what are you going to have to live on? Or maybe it's your career. You'd say, I know, I love God, but the most important thing is my career, man. It's my security. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing. I mean, I like my title. I like my office. I like the perks. You can't put your career before God because you could go to work tomorrow and your company downsizes and you have no job. Would you like to simplify your life? Most people would say, you know, man, I would like to simplify my life. Here it is. Put God first. Because if you do that, you'll have less to worry about. Now, next thing I'm going to say is, to me, one of the most important concepts of this verse, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Most of what we as Christians worry about has nothing or very little to do with advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When you worry about your career, you worry about your children, your appearance, all those things, those have very little to do about advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You say, well, then how do I put God first and advance His kingdom? When you get up every day, is a part of your prayer, not, Lord, bless me and keep me safe. That's a part of it. But is the main point of your prayer, Lord, today, bring in my path someone that needs a word of hope about Jesus Christ? Or every week, do you pray, Lord, provide opportunities for me to connect with my neighbors this week? Or when you're in your career or your business, do you say, God, bless me and help me to be successful so that I will maximize the resources you've entrusted me so I can use them to give to help advance the kingdom through giving them to my local church to reach more people for Jesus Christ? You see, if we're not careful, most of the things that we pray about, most of the things that we worry about have very little to do with advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So, what's first in your life? Who is first in your life? You tell me the answer to that question, and I'll tell you whether or not your life is going to continually be filled with worry. How do you overcome worry? It's a tough one. Put God first in every area of your life. Second thing, learn to live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Look what verse 34 says. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. We've already heard that. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why in the world should we live only one day at a time? Because if you spend so much time and energy worrying about tomorrow's problems, you'll miss the blessings that God has for you today. I want to repeat that. If we worry so much about the problems we're going to face tomorrow, we will miss the blessing that God has for us today. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should never plan ahead. I'm not saying that we should never make long-term plans. What I'm saying is, don't be so consumed with your detailed plans for tomorrow that you can't focus on what's right in front of you. Or to put it another way, plan for tomorrow, but focus on today. Think about the model prayer. Why did Jesus pray, give us today our daily bread? He wants us to pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Why? So we'd learn to depend on Him one day at a time. Or for 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, and every day God what gave them manna from heaven. Why? So that they would learn to trust Him to provide for their needs. And if we're not careful, affluence is a hindrance to trusting God to live one day at a time. Why? We have all kinds of insurance today to protect everything. Protect our health, protect us when we go in assisted living, protect our possessions. We have insurance for everything. We have a refrigerator full of food. We have a closet full of clothes. We have money invested for our retirement. And yet, if we're not careful as a culture, we worry more about tomorrow and our future than many people around the world that have very little. Why is that? Because they have to learn every day to depend on God for everything they need. Several years ago, one of our missionaries, a really good friend of mine, Mike Schrage, he came back to visit, and I said, man, I'm so proud of what you're doing in Africa. Your ministry there is incredible. We're glad that we get to partner with you. I can't believe how difficult your ministry must be. And the next words out of his mouth caught me totally off guard. He said, Pastor Don, I want you to know you have a more difficult ministry in Phoenix, Arizona than I do in Africa. I go, what? He said, the people I minister to, by and large, have very little. And so they've learned every day to get up and pray for God to literally provide for their daily needs. So he said it's pretty easy to have them see how important God is in their life because they're depending on God every day. He said, I notice more and more when I come back to America, you Americans have almost everything you need. And because you have everything you need, it's difficult for you to see any need for God or to depend upon Him. Would that describe your life? That you would say, yeah, I've got so much right now, I'm pretty set. Oh, I go to church, but I can really live my life without God. Live one day at a time. The Bible contains over 7,000 promises to each of us from God, and they are our insurance policy against worry. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God will take care of you. If you've accepted Him by faith, you are fully covered for eternity by the blood of Jesus Christ. So stop worrying. Feel like your life is out of control? Are you a worrier? Let me give you a simple formula that I have memorized that's become a part of my life from this passage in Philippians. Here's the takeaway. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals peace. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals peace. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. Look what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true or noble or right or pure or lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, don't check out on me. Hang with me. I want you to really think through this passage and see how this formula for overcoming worry comes right out of that. First of all, praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. That means have an attitude of thanksgiving at all times. We say what? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All the time, we need to give thanks and rejoice in the Lord. That refers to what you say. Get up every day and be praising God with your lips. Secondly, is poise. Poise means what? Poise says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. Don't get upset. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Because when we worry, we're not gentle. We're upset. Let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Now, what's the key to poise? The key to poise is how you think. See, praise is what you say. Poise is how you think. Your thought life. He says what? Think about things that are true, right, admirable, and praiseworthy. And if you're going to think right and be a person of poise, you need to reject thinking that others have what you wish you had. It's called what? Facebook. I'm sorry, you're going to get sick of me saying that, but if you don't believe that's impacting how you think, go off Facebook for a week and see what happens. Many of our lives are controlled by being consumed every day about what other people are doing, what they're thinking, and what they have, and it messes up our lives, and that's why we worry. We're no longer at poise. Praise plus poise plus prayer. He says, in everything, present your request to God with thanksgiving. That refers to what you do. You say, well, prayer is what I say. No, prayer is what you do. You got a choice. You can worry or you can pray. Because when we worry, if we're not careful, we do what? We talk to ourselves. We talk to other people about our struggles, and they said, no. Are you uptight? Are you worrying? Present your request to God. Don't talk to yourself. Talk to God. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals peace. Peace? What about peace? It says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, I don't understand this, God. Well, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace allows us to understand things that we don't know what's going on, but we're going to settle down and relax and say, God, I don't know about the future. I don't know what's going on, but you're God, and I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to worry. Do you have things in your life that you would say, there's some things that I don't understand and I don't have the peace of God? There's some things I don't understand. I don't understand why my brother drowned when he was 18. I don't understand why my dad, when he was 95, went to the rest home and only lived 1 week. And he said, I'm going to go home. And he went home with the Lord. I don't understand why my mother's still been in the same rest home for 4 years and wants to die, and God won't take her. Or I don't understand sometimes why God allows Christians all over the world to get slaughtered horribly for their faith. And at the same time, if we're not careful, we live in a land of very little persecution, and yet we complain all the time because we suffer as Christians and we don't have it so easy. And I can't wait to get to heaven and say, God, why? I don't understand all this. But you see, if I'm going to live this life to the fullest, I have to trust that God is God and He knows best. And so refers to what I say. Poise refers to how I think. Prayer refers to what I'm going to do, and peace refers to what God will do for us. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. So do you feel like you're living on the edge? Do you feel like your life is out of control? And I'd pray that you'd remember this takeaway formula. It has helped me in my life and ministry to realize the things that I can't deal with, I have to get up every day and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to try and think about the right things so I can have some poise in my life. And then I'm going to pray and present my requests to you and let you deal with them. And I've found over time that will give me peace. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know you're in charge and it's going to be a great ride. Let's pray. Lord God, today we just thank you. On all of our campuses, there's a lot of people listening to this message that we struggle with worry. We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. And when things don't go the way that we want, it stresses us and everybody else in the family and around us to death. Lord, there's some, I'm sure, is listening to this message today that they don't have the peace of God because they've not accepted you as their leader and their Lord. They haven't put you first. So I pray that for those who have never accepted you, that they'd put you first. For those of us that say you were first, but over time we've allowed other things to take priority, may we take a step back today and realize that we need to seek your kingdom first. You put us here to take as many people with us to heaven as we can. So help us to see our role, our career, what you have us doing in a whole different light. That we're there to be salt and light for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as a church. Help us as individuals for those things that we don't understand. We don't have answers to, that we'll hang in there and trust you and believe. And someday when we're face to face, it'll all become very clear and we'll see your plan. So until that time, help us to trust your plan. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.